Check, check, mic check. It's a Monday, January the 15th. At least that's when you're hearing this. My name is Nico Ramos. Welcome to a brand new, but still kind of all the same, Call to Arms podcast. What's up, folks? Changed the colors a little bit. Working with some new music. Slightly kind of tweaking the vibes of the show. But everything that you love about the show is still here. Everything that annoyed you about the show, it's most likely still here. And the best part about it is we're on every week now, so every Monday, at the very, very least, every Monday, you could tap into the Call to Arms podcast and find something new. What's up, everybody? If you're new to the show, then welcome. Hello. This is a nice little home. Nice, cool little treehouse club we made over here. If you've been here since day one, shout outs to you. I appreciate you. So what's different? What's changed? What does 2024 have in store for all of us here at the Call to Arms podcast? All our favorite basketball people in the world, we're still going to track them down. We're still going to talk to them. We're still going to have some, in my opinion, pretty insightful conversations with all of them. We're still going to watch movies together. Still going to watch TV shows together. Still going to talk about them in way too much detail. We're still going to talk about sneakers. Still going to talk about shoes. We're talking about shoes a little bit on the show today. But I think, above all things, we're still going to have fun together and have you guys be part of the podcast more than ever. If you guys check out the description of the episode, there's a link on there how you guys can be part of the show and actually leave like a voice message on the show. So if you guys have a question, if you guys want a topic you guys want to bring up, if you guys got a take that you feel should make it to the show, then please go on and do it. Again, if you're on Spotify, if you're listening on Spotify, go to the episode description. There's a link there where you guys can drop in your voice notes. All right, let's go. On the show today, we're going to talk about UAP players jumping one school to another. We're going to talk about the Chicago Bulls fans and their manners towards poor elderly widows. We're going to talk about NBA teams still trading players out of the blue without actually telling them in person. Not cool. Every week, we're going to figure out who is holding the basketball championship belt, meaning, like, who's him or who's her in basketball right now. I'm going to award that every week. And we're going to cap off today with a Budo list, meaning I share with you guys some things that I think would be worth your hard-earned money or time. And you let me know. You know, maybe you guys give it a try. Maybe you already have it. Maybe you've already seen it. You've already listened to it. Whatever have you. Should be cool. Should be fun. All of that coming up on this brand new episode of the brand new but still all the same Call to Arms podcast. Hoops, hoops. And even more hoops. We're calling it a Basketball Pro Max Plus podcast, meaning everything you want to know about basketball, you find it here. Everything you want to know about everything else, well, guess what? You find it here also. Let's get started. The UAP making a lot of news, not because of game results, not because of highlights, not because of LaSalle winning a very impressive championship. We'll talk more about their championship in future episodes of the pod. The UAP is in a lot of news because, much like the NBA, they're starting to become a 12-month league because transactions, rumors, and player movement have become king of collegiate basketball in the Philippines. So, in case you missed it, Jacob Cortez has jumped from the champion San Beda Red Lions. And he's going to go and continue the Cortez story in De La Salle. He's going NC to UA, which is not a jump we see a lot. We see a lot of UAP guys jump to the NCAA, but vice versa, we don't see that a lot. Kian Baklaan has left NU after playing 2 years in NU, and he will finish out his UAP career with De La Salle as well. And perhaps the biggest bit of news at all is someone who, I mean, you know, technically hasn't played for UP, but he did commit very early to the University of the Philippines, but is now decommitting from UP. Jared Bahay, reportedly on the way to Ateneo, and, you know, he'll stay within the Ateneo program and play for Tab Baldwin and the Blue Eagles. There's a lot of conversation around player recruitment, around, you know, players changing teams, around players getting paid, which I think is a big, you know, not so subtle elephant in the room around collegiate sports, not just here in the Philippines, but, you know, everywhere else, especially in the U.S. I believe in a few things fundamentally about college sports. One, a player or a student should go and study or play wherever they want. They want to transfer, let them transfer, right? I mean, I went to UP Los Baños, not as an athlete, just like as a regular dude who barely passed the UPCAT and enrolled there. If I wanted to change schools, no one was stopping me. Nothing was stopping me. Just the fact that I actually serve my school as an athlete, you know, shouldn't stop me. So I believe that. I mean, you know, hey, Kian Baclan wants to be a LaSalleian, go for it, bro. Why not? Nothing should stop you. I believe that. The other thing I believe is that college players should be paid. Like, they should be paid. We saw it in the U.S. with the NCAA kind of approving NIL, name and image and licensing. That's essentially kind of allowing players to get an endorsement and make money off of their name and off of their brand, even though they're still amateur players. We've always had that, right? I mean, like, Kiefer had Cherifer commercials, you know, even when he was a freshman in Ateneo, it felt like. But I think that players should most definitely be compensated financially for their athletic services to the school, especially if you play men's basketball or women's volleyball in the UAAP, considering how much revenue those two sports generate for not just the UAAP, but for all eight schools, right? I mean, and look, everyone gets paid, whether it's an allowance or whether it's, you know, whatever. I don't know how much of the rumors you want to believe in terms of how much these guys are making, right? I've never been comfortable kind of being privy to another man or another adult's financial situation. I think that, you know, unless you're a public official or, you know, an NBA player whose salaries are public, I think that that should remain private. I think that there's a route where the UAP still is able to kind of keep some of those things private for the protection of the players, right? How are they going to regulate it? I don't know, man. Like, I'm not a lawyer. I didn't say I had all the answers. I didn't say I had a perfect solution. I'm just saying pay the players, because players deserve to get paid. How do you stop it from being an all-out bidding war? I don't know. But I do have a suggestion. Hear me out. It's not a perfect suggestion. I'm willing to workshop it with people. If you hate the suggestion, cool. I'm not forcing you to like it. If you really don't like the suggestion, cool. I am in no way, shape, or form under the authority to make this happen. I don't work with the league. I don't work with any of the teams. None of that, right? So relax. But my imperfect suggestion is this. I've been looking at the landscape, and who pays the price if a player transfers? There's three entities involved, right? Your old school, yourself, the athlete, and your new school. I'm just talking about, you know, UAAP to UAAP school transfers. In the case of, you know, Kian Baclan or Dave Ildefonso, not even Jared Bahay, because he hasn't played for UP yet. Yeah, he just changed his mind where he wants to take his entrance exam. Whatever, right? But supposing you're a player that's already played a year, 2 years in the UAAP, and you want to transfer to another UAP school. There's three characters in this story. School A, player, and then school B. Who suffers, right? Who is actually punished, or, you know, who's on the short end of the stick when a player chooses to transfer? Most obviously, school A, because you lose a player, right? And 9 times out of 10, that's a good player. It's a player you need. That's a player you were counting on being there. It's a player you're building around. The other character that suffers is the player, because you have to sacrifice a full playing year for residency. That means a full year in your collegiate playing prime, right? You take 5 years, you turn it into 4, if you even have that many left, right? So, you know, sucks for the school that you're leaving because they lose a player. Sucks for you a little bit because, you know, you have to sit out a year. But then for school B, the team that's receiving it, it's all roses for them, right? It's all good news for them. They can wait. They're you know, forward thinking about their program. They're building forward. So, you know, they get punished. They don't get punished at all for this. Now, I'm not saying they should be punished, but I'm saying maybe a price should be paid to maybe even out the scales a little bit. So here's my suggestion. I can't take away the pain from school A, because I believe players should be allowed to transfer. I can't take away the pain from the player, because I think 1 year residency is a fair deal, right? I can, however, maybe even the scales a little bit, because I believe, and here's my imperfect suggestion. I believe that the team receiving a player, the team that's taking in a player who's transferred out of another UAP school, I think they should pay school A. I think they should pay the source team. And I think that amount should be commensurate to how good that player is. If the player that is transferring is, I don't know, a top 20 player based off of the statistical points rankings, which the UAP uses, then I think you should pay a premium price. Everything under that, you pay a sub-premium price, right? Let's say it's a million pesos, right? If someone like Kian Baklaan leaves NU, I think Kian should serve his 1 year residency. But if another UAP team signs him, like LaSalle, I think it's only fair LaSalle writes a 1 million peso check and sends it over to the NU basketball program. Why is this a bad idea? Come on. It's not that bad of an idea. Think about it. Now, you might argue to yourself, that's nothing to LaSalle. Sure, probably. You might think, oh, that's nothing to NU. Like, you know, NU, they're SM funded. They're cool. They're fine. Sure. But it's not zero. At least you get something. You get some subsidy to spend on your basketball program, right? As a player that's leaving, you don't leave your old school, you know, just like with nothing. At least, you know, like, you know, hey guys, I'm going to transfer. I'm going to move to that other school. But I mean, you know, they're going to pay you a check. You guys going to get $1 million. Maybe that can go into bettering the facilities, bettering the, you know, recruitment, you know, taking you guys to Japan for, preseason training. Spend your money however you want to. It just has to be within basketball program confines. I think it's a good idea. Again, it's not my best idea. It's also not my worst idea. It's a little imperfect, but I think it could work. I think it could. Look, you're telling me UE wouldn't have benefited from USD cutting them a million peso check for Kyle Paranada's transfer? I think it's fair, right? And again, this isn't about like buying players or like paying for the rights of players to play for you. I think the players should be paid significantly, right? I mean, you know, I think that on surface they too should get a good chunk of this UAAP money, right? But I think that that's a good way to ensure that the teams that have the most resources, who have, you know, good coaching, who have attractive programs, that they're a little bit more, I don't know, selective with who they choose to quote unquote poach from other teams, because, you know, not only do you have to, you know, pay them whatever allowance you have to pay them to transfer to, but you're also going to have to give $1 million back to a rival team. And also at the same time, you know, it allows some of these smaller teams, you know, that, you know, if they're able to find and discover and grow and train a player of good caliber while they're still providing that player with the freedom to move schools, because that's their right, they get a little something for their trouble, you know, help them with their program move forward. I don't know. It's not a perfect idea. I'm not saying we should charge it retroactively. So, you know, I'm only using LaSalle and NU as an example. I'm not expecting LaSalle to give NU $1 million right now. I'm just saying, think about it. I also don't think I'm the first person to have thought about this idea. So I think that it's been discussed before. I'm not reporting that. I'm just saying. Like, for example, if Ray Remugat was being poached out of UE, I'm not reporting that, by the way. That's not news. I'm just using him as an example because, you know, he's a super talented guy in a small school with a lot of playing years left. I mean, if he was to go to another team, I think it would only be fair that that other team sent UE some money. $1 million pesos. It doesn't completely fix the situation, but it's a step towards it. I don't know. Tell me what you think about the idea. All right, let's move on. Let's talk a little bit of the NBA. Jerry Krause was inducted into the Ring of Honor of the Chicago Bulls. No, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen did not attend the ceremony. I think both of them were trying to be like, have you ever been invited to like a thing that you know an ex is going to be at? And you're like, but you guys don't talk. So you don't want to ask, hey, if you go, I won't go. If I go, are you still going to go? And eventually they just both decided they didn't want to risk it. So neither of them went. Understandable when you're about to be the father-in-law of your longtime teammate's ex-wife. Seems like a perfectly adult thing to do. Unfortunately, though, the ceremony still went viral for all the wrong reasons. When Jerry Krause, the former GM of the 90s Bulls, was announced, he was met with thunderous boos all around the United Center. Unfortunately, it was his wife, Thelma, who was attending in Jerry's behalf posthumously because Jerry Krause has passed away. And you could just see her just like crying, sobbing in tears. This innocent woman who had nothing to do with this, just being booed by a bunch of like weirdo fanboys. While it wasn't exactly polite to boo someone who has already passed away and also delivered you 6 championships, City of Chicago, I mean, come on. I think some of the blame has to go on whoever was directing that show. Some of the blame has to be, because you must have known, you must have anticipated this was going to happen. Because the way this happened was, and if you watch the video, you're going to see, just like, you can hear an audible gasp as soon as you see Thelma Krause's crying face, like, shown on the Jumbotron, right? Because the way it is they show a picture or a video of a person, they announce his name, and then they go to a live feed of that person or that person's representative in arena, right? So Steve Kerr, they show highlights of Steve Kerr, they show his photo, and then they show, oh, Steve Kerr's there because it's a game versus the Warriors, right? You guys have to have anticipated that Jerry Krause was maybe not going to be received super warmly. So announcing his name, putting his photo up on the Jumbotron before you show his sweet widow there representing him, I'm not sure that was the best move, Bulls. Whoever was directing that show, I'm not sure who the PR person was, if it was their events team. Maybe for that particular entry, you guys maybe should have started with poor old sweet Thelma Krause and then say, you know, she was there representing. Because you hear a gasp from people. And people are just like, boo! And then they show Thelma and they're like, oh! And then they're immediately sorry. But anyway, still not cool, Bulls. Almost as uncool as NBA trades happening when players getting traded least expect it. We just got news that the Detroit Pistons had traded Marvin Bagley III and Isaiah Livers to the Washington Wizards on Sunday for Danilo Gallinari and Mike Muscala. I have no idea what the Pistons are doing either. They're just like losing record number of games in a just fascinating way. However, both Marvin Bagley III and Isaiah Livers found out about the trade in the middle of Pistons practice, and there is now footage of them finding out and then, while still wearing Pistons gear, saying goodbye to their teammates, hugging and saying goodbye. Reminds you obviously of the famous Harrison Barnes situation where as more information has come out, we found out that Harrison Barnes actually knew he was getting traded, and then still chose to sit on the bench for the Mavs that game. But for like the entire game, it was awkward because he couldn't check in. He had already been traded. And then there's that live graphic of him, Harrison Barnes, traded to Sacramento. There's about 100,000 different stories of NBA players saying they didn't know they were going to get traded. They found out on Twitter, right? They found out because they have Woj alerts on their phone, or a family member called them because it was on SportsCenter. Look, I know trading people is a sensitive thing. I've seen Moneyball, right? But there has to be a way around this. There has to be a way for us to maybe, I don't know, tell a human being, by the way, you're going to get traded. Right. Even if it's just a text, look, GM, right before you call it in, like right before you agree, because you got to call it into the commissioner's office. How about take the 5 seconds to text Marvin Bagley and Isaiah Livers? Hey, fellas, more details coming soon. We've just traded you guys. Wanted you to hear it straight from me. That'll take you 5.7 seconds to compose and send that message. I'm not saying it's an easy job to do. I'm just saying that there's a way to do it. There's a way to do it. Those are your three basketball stories for this week's episode. Before that, though, I do want to hand out the basketball championship belt. We're doing it every week. This week, it goes to the one, the only, Caitlin Clark. Is there anyone having a bigger, cooler, more badass moment than her right now in all of basketball? The other day, she had this like ridiculous, like stupid, like step back three from the logo. About a week or so before that, there was the from the logo buzzer beater three for the win. But I think the one that really captured the hearts, minds, and Steph Curry imaginations of people is when she heaved up an almost half-court shot, got fouled, turned around, started motioning to the referee to count it before the shot even went in, and then she got a four-point play. My wife sent me that clip and said, I want to be her. Tells you everything you need to know. The holder of the basketball championship belt for this week, Monday, January the 15th, Caitlin Clark, who will take it from her next week, or will she get to keep it? One more thing before we get out of here on the newest episode of just a little shinier Call to Arms podcast is about to give you guys a Buddha list, some things to maybe give a glance at, maybe give a look at, and, you know, maybe you like it. Spend some of your hard-earned money on it. The first one's free. It's a song. It's an artist. I know next to nothing about Jason Dakal. That's J-A-S-O-N-D-H-A-K-A-L. But I was walking around the mall the other day. I heard a song that was playing in the background, and I was like, oh, this song sounds cool. So I said, hey, Siri, what's this song? Which is something you guys can do on your iPhone, by the way. Not an ad, although I will take Apple money. I'm not beyond it. And then it said, this is Heaven by Jason Dakal. So I did that thing on Spotify. Also, again, not an ad, although I'm not above taking Spotify money. I went and searched for it, and then I clicked on Click on Radio. So I've now just been fed a playlist of just like similar sounding music. Similar as Jason Dakal's song Heaven. And I like it. I like it. It's really put me in a good mood recently. That's been my go-to playlist whether I'm in the gym, or I'm doing a task, or like I'm driving. Go and give it a chance, give it a listen. Next two Buddhas are also free if you already have Netflix. One, Yellowstone, the series, is now on Netflix, finally. I recommended Yellowstone to a lot of people in the past, although it's kind of like hard to watch it legally. It's about Kevin Costner being, one, way too rich, and two, having way too much land, and him protecting all his riches and all that land. I recognize that fundamentally, I don't believe that a person should be A, that rich, or B, have that much land. However, I'm amazed that he's so charismatic, and the show is just this perfect blend of, is this a high-quality prestige TV show, like HBO type, or is this a teleserie? It finds that middle point just like right smack in the middle, and it's so like you'll get hooked. It's a perfect folding laundry TV show. That's what I call shows that you just put on in the background while you're folding clothes or, you know, doing whatever house chore. It's perfect for that. It's great. The other thing on Netflix, if you guys enjoy comedy at all, there's a lot of conversation about, you know, Jokoi and stand-up comedians and things like that. Maybe for another episode. We're almost done here today. But I want to suggest Mike Birbiglia, The Old Man in the Pool. I think it's about the funniest stand-up special I've seen in a really, really, really long time. Like, that thing had me laughing out loud so hard. Mike Birbiglia, his last name's hard to pronounce and spell. I'm not sure I'm doing it right. But you can search on Netflix, The Old Man and the Pool. And then last but not the least, I'm so happy. I think the basketball sneakers are really making a true comeback. I think that the LeBron 20 really unlocked something, and you see it across just like across everything. I think after that shoe came out, you've really seen a whole lot of inspired design and just a lot of new energy. There's a lot more Kobe's coming out, and you know Kobe's are arguably, you know, the best performing basketball sneakers like ever. So you see a lot of Kobe's being used on the court. But special shout out to two particular shoes that you can get. You could buy it right now, actually. The GT Cut 3 Picante Red. It's red, white, looks like a classic Air Max with that GT Cut 3. It's really a good looking shoe. It's really a good looking shoe. I've yet to try it. I'm very excited to try it. But it really reminds me of, you know, some early 2000s, maybe late 2000s basketball sneakers that, you know, kind of have a lot of character while at the same time really, like if someone wore this, you immediately think, oh, this person's good at basketball because, you know, this is a basketball player's shoe. That's what this shoe is. You see it and you're like, this is a serious basketball player's shoe. That and the LeBron Next Gen Amped first game, which is a tip of the cap to the original AZG, the Air Zoom generation. I'm in love with that shoe. Yeah. I mean, perfect storytelling on a great platform. It's a great performing shoe. Like, just that silhouette, it's great. You know, it takes all of the nostalgia from the AZG and puts it on a modern platform, done super well. It's great. It's a great shoe. I know I use the word great a lot, and sometimes I don't mean it, but those two shoes are great, and they represent, I think, a really strong movement within basketball shoes right now. You can get both of those shoes over at Titan22.com or visit any Titan store. Is that like a biased plug? You're damn right it is. Thanks for hanging out, folks. I appreciate it. Thanks for spending your time listening to the podcast. I'll see you guys again next Monday at the very, very least. Between Mondays, though, every now and then we will drop a surprise episode. We're going to do some very special stuff on video as well, both here on Spotify and also on social. So make sure that you guys follow. I'll keep most of the stuff on my account. It's at NikoRMS, NIKORMS, if you guys aren't following yet. Thank you very much. Appreciate all the support towards the podcast, whether you've spent 28 minutes supporting the podcast or countless hours being on this journey with me. Excited for what's to come. You guys be good. See you guys very, very soon. Bye-bye.